The earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ had a number of purposes. It was to present himself as the Messiah with signs and wonders, things that only God can do. So the people would say, "It is God who is in our midst. Oh, this is the Messiah who is in our midst." And then Jesus, in his ministry, gave a preview, really, of the kingdom of God. He said to the demons, "You don't belong here." He said to those who have disease, "That disease does not belong here." And he spoke the truth. That's what the kingdom of God will be like, a kingdom of truth and a kingdom where the effects of sin and death are greatly diminished. But he did something else. His purpose was to reveal God and to reveal the knowledge of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But as you read the life of Jesus Christ, one of those great effects of that is that you should come to a greater knowledge of God. And if you read the Gospels, they are written in a progressive manner. It's as if Jesus comes and he begins to unfold this knowledge of God as you go through each one of the synoptic Gospels written in that way. For example, if you look at Mark chapter 1, and you look at the first ministry that he, miracle that he performed in delivering the demon. And you look at this and you say, what is the truth that is sort of emphasized in this miracle? I mean, Jesus can emphasize any truth in the miracle, and the Holy Spirit can do so as well. But notice in verse 22, they were astonished at his teaching. He taught them as one having authority. And then look at verse 27. That's his teaching there. Verse 27, they were all amazed. They questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." So here's Jesus Christ teaching and performing a miracle, but what came across and what is emphasized here is his authority. See, Jesus didn't come to earth as a visitor. He came to earth as the owner and the ruler and the protector and the provider of this universe and of this earth. And so when he came, he spoke with authority, and when he spoke with authority. He is the authority. And that's what's emphasized in that first miracle that Mark reveals. This is his world. And then as Mark's gospel continues, we look at the passage we're going to look at this morning, verses 40 through 45. And you see something else about God. And we'll get to that, but look at verse 41. And Jesus moved with authority. No, it doesn't say authority. Just you're all checking, saying, "No, what is the translation you're reading from there?" It says Jesus. Well, you'll be surprised at this word anyway. But Jesus moved with compassion. Jesus moved with compassion. You get that compassion from your Creator. Because when you see someone in need, or someone who has a problem or a difficulty or in desperate straits, your heart is moved with compassion. "Well, I feel sorry for that person. Oh, it's going through such a difficult time." Sometimes our compassion leads us to do something and we're moved to help. But you got that compassion from your Creator God, who gave that to you. That's a part, that's an attribute that belongs to him. Everything we have from him. But here, especially compassion. Jesus looks at this man and is moved by compassion. So let me give you an illustration just to think about something that you need to think about with reference to God and his being. Sometime when you go to the Oregon coast, buy a cup of coffee. I can actually tell you some, this is not part of the illustration, but I can actually tell you some places where you can buy some really good coffee at the coast, but that's not the illustration. But buy a cup of coffee and drink the coffee. Empty the cup. Then go down to the beach and wade out into the water a little bit and take that cup and scoop up the ocean water. And then walk back up on the beach. And this cup represents you. And the water inside of this, in fact, the water that all that you can see, represents the being of God. And there's two things that you can wonder about at this moment. When you look at this cup and compare it to the water that is out there, you say, this cup is nothing. There's so much more out there. And then to make this illustration even more accurate, because the waters of the earth are a finite measure. That's all the oceans. But imagine that the universe is all water, and as far out as it goes, which is infinite as far as we are concerned, the water is up there as well. And then you look at this cup and you say, now we're really saying that this cup is really nothing. That out there represents the being of God. This cup represents you and your mind and what you can know. And so you should say, wow, this is just a little bit of the enormity of God. Theologians speak about this as the incomprehensibility of God. Incomprehensibility of God. I always think that's kind of a weird thing. It means you cannot comprehend this vast God. That's the first wonder to think about. God is infinite. God is eternal. His being is infinite and eternal. That means everything about him is infinite and eternal. There's never a time when you're going to be able to put your arm all the way around the being of God throughout all eternity. We're going to be theologians throughout eternity learning about the knowledge of God. Now then, look at your cup again. Because this is the second wonder that you should be amazed about. The second wonder is you hold this little bitty cup full of little bit of water. And you look at that and you can say, I know God. I know him. In this little bitty cup, you can say this. You just got through saying he is incomprehensible. You cannot comprehend this God, and yet we look in this little cup and we say, I know him. And I have the assurance that I know him. That's amazing. So what is the difference between this knowledge and all of this out here? And the answer to that is Jesus Christ came to reveal God to us. He came so that we could say by watching him, I know God. I know that he is a God of love. I know that he's a God of compassion. But when you see the love and compassion of God, remember that we know him, but the immensity of that truth is really beyond our comprehension. You have no idea the compassion that God has for you. Sometimes you might think, well, you know, God is probably dissatisfied with me because I'm really not living the Christian life the way that I should. I should be further along in the Christian life. I do things that God says are sinful. I have to come before him and confess my sins. I don't really see how God could really love someone like me. And then you look at that cup and you say, he loves me. And then you think about the depth, all of this love, the enormity of the love of God. You say, there's never a time when God doesn't love me. There's never a time when God is not overwhelmingly compassionate towards me. That's amazing to think about. Let me show you where the Apostle Paul is thinking about it. Just turn to Ephesians chapter 3 just for a moment. Here he's praying. And notice how he describes the knowledge of God in this prayer. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. So he's praying that we might be strengthened, that the believers would be strengthened by God himself, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is, and notice what he describes here, what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. Here the Apostle Paul is holding this cup, but he's now looking at the whole of this ocean. That can't really be measured. He's just speaking in terms of what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, the enormity of the love of God. To know the love of Christ, he stops there. There's a pause at the end of verse 18. He says that you may know how high, how low, how wide, and how the measureless. They'll know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, which surpasses knowledge, which is incomprehensible, that we know what is incomprehensible. Well, that's an amazing statement to say. I know God, though I can never fully comprehend God. This love of God is like, it's not like the love that we have for one another. That is the love of God that he gives to us. But the depth of the love of God and the width of the love and the length, and we see a bit of that at the cross of Jesus Christ. But just recognize here that the enormity of this love that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what makes God, God, this incomprehensible God. And the reason why I say this is because when you look at this miracle, you're going to see someone who's in trouble. And Jesus looks upon him, and the word that's described that is really, he looks upon him and he has compassion for this man. But just remember that God is teaching us what Jesus is teaching us, who God is, and the compassion he has for you, and the compassion and the love that he has for us. Because Jesus is not just doing miracles to show that he's the Messiah, and he's not just giving us a preview of the kingdom of God. He said, I want you to know God. And when you hold that cup and you look at it, you say, I know him. I'm beginning to know him, and I'm knowing more and more about him, but I know this God. That's amazing. It's really amazing. Well, look at this passage. Jesus Christ is ministering. His ministry is growing. He's performing miracles, and the people are really responding to his miracles. In a very great way, they're responding to these miracles that are taking place. And you read in verse 40, and it says this. Then a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him. There's a lot of action in this description of this leper, and even Jesus talking back to the leper. And he said to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed, be cleaned. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Now Jesus is engaged in a ministry, and that ministry was a ministry when people were pressing in upon him. You're going to read as you read this ministry that people were so earnest and interested in getting to this one who could heal them that There are times when he could not even eat. It's amazing. And he had to stay away from the cities. In fact, he'll talk about that in a bit. But here comes this leper. And he came. Actually, it says he came beseeching and falling on his knees. He actually fell down before him, kneeling down before him. And this is the way he approaches, indicates his sincerity and his respectful request. And we know a little bit about what he's thinking by the way he says it. Because he is saying, if you are willing, if you might be willing, you can, you have the ability, you have the power, you have the dunamis, you have the miracle power to make me to be clean, to take this leprosy away from me. Clearly, this man believed that Jesus possessed the power to perform this miracle. So there's an element of faith that's happening here, because this man would have difficulty in getting to Jesus, but he comes before the Lord, and he says, if you have the ability, if you're just willing, if you're willing to do this. And the willingness is seen in Jesus when it says, and moved with compassion. I said this is an interesting word, because you might say, well, this is the word compassion, but it's not really the word compassion. It means, it really is, and move, it's the word to be angry. It's just sort of startling. You look at that and you say, it is the word to be angry? And I said, yes, it is the word to be angry. And so people, or at least commentators, they like to say, well, what kind of anger was this? Was he angry at the man for coming up to him? And the answer is no. And what is this? What was provoking him? And most believe that what was provoking him was the disease that has so changed this man's appearance even. This man had leprosy. And that leprosy is a term in the Bible that's used to cover all kinds of skin ailments. The most serious of these is what is called today Hansen's disease. And today there's no cure for it. There's medication that can hold back some of the symptoms. But this is a skin disease which takes away the feeling in your limbs, and so your limbs begin to drop off. It's an awful disease. It starts on the outside, but then it starts affecting your inside, and really it's a terminal disease. You die because of it. This man may have had an odd appearance. But clearly when he came to the Lord, he had to cry out, unclean, unclean. Over and over again, unclean, unclean. And when he said that, the people parted away from him. In fact, they may have parted away from him even to pick up sticks and stones to throw at him to go away. He could not enter into the cities. They had to stay 6 feet from the city, and if the wind was blowing, they had to stay 150 feet away from the city. So there's a lot of rules. But the law says these lepers are to stay away, because this leprosy is terrible. If they have leprosy, then they are pushed away from humanity. So the lepers would only be with the other lepers. So it's an unusual thing that this man would even get close to Jesus Christ. And he was very determined because of his leprosy. He's very determined to get to the Lord. So I don't know where the crowd was at this point, but I can tell you they were spread apart, because they don't get near someone with leprosy. It also separated the lepers from public worship, which also separates them in a sense from God. So it's a terrible disease. And the law of God, the law of Moses, forbids coming close to a leper, forbids touching a leper. You just get away from them. But the Lord's reaction was that he was moved with compassion, probably angry at the effects of sin and death. And this man being tormented by this disease, he was not angry with this man. And then what he does indicates how this anger is interpreted. Because it says, and the Lord was angry, or he was provoked, and he said to the man, get away from me. You have leprosy. Well, that would indicate that he was mad at the man. But what he did was something that you don't do. And the law says, don't do this. He reached out and he touched this leper. Now, if you see a leper, their whole body is changed because of the leprosy. Their face is changed. Their extremities are changed. Their appearance. And Jesus reached out and he touched him. So that indicates that he was not angry with the man, but this compassion, being provoked inwardly with the appearance and this man who is here and this leprosy, he reaches out and he touches him. Now, Jesus could have performed this miracle without touching him. He could have said, leprosy, be gone. He said, demons, be gone. He didn't touch the demons. He could have just said, be gone. And they would be gone. But he reached out and touching him. That's where this compassion definition comes into this term. His being provoked caused him to reach out and touch this man. So he is, you know, this tells you something about God and how he views sinners and how he views us as sinners. Leprosy in the Bible is used for this total corruption of the body, but becomes a symbol rather of the spiritual, not just of the lepers, but of all of us, the spiritual corruption of our bodies by the curse of sin and death. And Jesus reaches out to us and touches us. He doesn't say, sinners, oh, unclean, get away from me. I'm the Son of God. I'm holy. Don't bring your awfulness to me. Jesus reaches out and touches us. That's what he's doing at the cross. He's reaching out and touching us. He takes our sin upon himself. He suffers and dies in our place. His compassion leads him to touch us completely so that we are healed. And Jesus says, I want you to see this compassion in God. You might think a sovereign God just has no compassion and just as out doing what sovereign gods would do, and just, I'm a sovereign God, I can do anything. But this is not a God who is a mere force of power. This is a God who is of infinite force of power, but infinitely has feelings for us and compassion for us. When you see someone that's sick, I love to say this, but when you see someone that's sick, you don't hate that person. You look at that person that's sick and you go, I feel sorry for that person. Someone gets a terminal illness, you go, it breaks our hearts. You look, I'm just sorry. And I hate the disease. But you reach out and touch people. We have this compassion. We got it from God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is really showing this compassionate part, and see the enormity of this compassion when you see it with God. Jesus could have just simply done this miracle by just speaking the terms. He could have just said, doesn't need to say in the passage he felt compassion. The only way that you can know that he felt compassion is by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because nobody can look at him and see what's going on inside of him, but it says here what's going on inside of him. This is a God who loves us. This is a God who is compassionate to you. He never lacks compassion. He cares for you. You say, well, God, I'm suffering. I'm going through a real difficult time. There are problems in my life that I can't take away. God, do you care? And when we ask that question, it's just a terrible question because God is infinitely compassionate towards us. We cannot measure his care. That's what we're going to be trying to do in all eternity. We're going to try to measure the love of God. How do you measure what is infinite? You cannot. And God is moved here by compassion. It's not Jesus was moved by his ministry as the Messiah. He's not moved here by the ministry of the Messiah. He's not moved by his responsibility to give a preview of the kingdom of God. He's God compassionate. Here's this defiled person standing in front of him, physically defiled in front of him. And he reaches out and touches him. That ought to be just wonderful to you, for us, for you and for me to observe here in this passage of Scripture, because it lets us know when we stand spiritually defiled before God, he has compassion for us and he loves us and he sent his son to save us. This is the most compassionate God. Infinitely compassionate. So Jesus says to him, I'm willing. You've got through the crowd. You've got all the people spread away from you. You come to me. You're falling down in front of me. And you're saying that I have the ability to do this if I'm just willing to do so. He said, I am willing to do this. And he says to him, be cleansed. And there's an immediate healing. What this means is the people watching this saw the man's face, disfigured face, figured again. They saw the scales upon his skin removed. This is a transformation of this man physically. Inwardly, his organs that are being damaged by this leprosy are healed. This is a complete transformation that takes place. I mean, that's to think about observing this whole thing. Here's this man, and suddenly he just, he's changed. He's back to being the totality of health again. He's not only healed of the leprosy, but he's restored to health and strength again. That's the kind of power that Jesus Christ possessed. And he's clean. And again, this is a picture of what God does, but not just by touching us. He has to go to the cross for us. He has to satisfy the wrath and judgment of God. He has to satisfy all the requirements. And God sends his son in our place to satisfy those requirements. Why? Because of his compassion for us. Because he looks at us in the filthiness of our sin and death, and he says, you need help. I'm able. Only God is able to heal us. This man, somebody said to him, oh, what happened to you? Did you heal yourself? He'd say, no, I could not heal myself. It is God who healed me. He's the one who had compassion upon me. He's the one who reached out, and actually I had leprosy, and he touched me when I'm a leper. He didn't heal him and then shake his hand and say, glad to see you back again. While he was yet covered with the leprosy, he touches him. And the people, I'm telling you, when he did that, the people went, ooh, this is not good. This is just, and they could even say, you broke the law. But Jesus didn't break the law. He's God. He's the God of the law. He reached forward and touched. Man was not to do that, but he's God. He reaches down and touches. Man can't save you. It's only God. And he is clean, and he touches the one who's defiled, and the defiled person got clean. That's the miracle. Jesus didn't get defiled. So if a human being would touch him, that's the way leprosy is communicated. And if you touch, you're in trouble. But Jesus wasn't in trouble. The man was cleansed. That's just the opposite of what you would expect. So here you have this amazing miracle that takes place. And then the account that's followed is also interesting. which to me shows the enormity of concern for Jesus had for this man. There's parts of Scripture that when you first read it, you go, why is this here? But let me just read the text, verse 43 and following here. And he strictly, this is a very strong language, he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And he said to him, and these are all commands. There's a series of four commands in this one sense. See that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer. Four commands. See, go, show, and offer. Jesus is telling this man what he now must do. For your cleansing, those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So Jesus is being very pointed in what he's telling this man. But, that's an unfortunate word here, but he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came. He was repeatedly outside. He was outside, 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 all the places, and the people were repeatedly coming and coming and coming and coming to him. Deserted place, and they came to him over and over and over again from every quarter. Now, why these instructions? I mean, here the man is healed. I mean, you look at this, and I think all of us probably have a little bit of sympathy with this man because, you know, it's like something wonderful happened. And when something wonderful happens, you want to say, hey, let me tell you my story. Let me tell you what happened to me. I went to Jesus and he healed me. I was a leper and he reached out and he touched me and he said, leprosy be gone. And he healed me. Can you believe it? I'm whole again. I don't have to walk around going, unclean, 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 I'm clean. I think he just was walking around going, clean, clean, clean. You know, it's like, I'm good to go. This is a wonderful thing that has happened. I have a lot of sympathy for this guy but bothers me because he was disobedient. He did the wrong thing. Why was Jesus so interested for this man to really walk about 100 miles? To go back to the temple, to see the priest. The priest would take two birds, he'd kill one of the birds, sprinkle blood on one, and then go through this ceremony and then let the one fly away. And there was a ceremony for this, and then you have to wait 7 days, and he has to be examined by the priest again. You wait for another 7 days. If he's still clean, then he's declared to be publicly clean. So why is Jesus so concerned now with the law? Why is he saying you need to go and do this? Because he says, see, this is a strong command, see that you say nothing. See that you say nothing. Don't say a word about this. This is God commanding. This is the God who healed him. This is the God who has the authority to heal and the compassion to heal. And now he's saying, go. And show and offer an offering to God. Now this, you say, why was it necessary? This is a great question. Why was it necessary for a healed leper, if he was healed or healed of any kind of skin disease, if he was healed, why was it necessary to go to the temple and have an offering? I mean, you might say you go to the temple, the priest looks over the guy and says, well, you look like you're pretty healed. Come back in a week. Come back in a week, look at you. You know, you go see the doctor. If you get something bother you and you get well from it, the doctor doesn't say, okay, now go to church and offer an offering to God. Maybe he should. Maybe he should. But I've never seen a doctor who said, well, you had that problem, but it's gone away. Go show yourself to God and offer an offering to God. We need more doctors like that. I think that would be a great thing. Why did Jesus say this to this man? And the answer to that is, I think, here's my thinking, my authoritative thinking, which is not very authoritative. I think Jesus is concerned with the totality of this man. One of the reasons why Jesus was concerned about his ministry, and if he hesitated at all with reference to miracles, is that people loved the miracles. They didn't really care for the gospel teaching. And when Jesus comes, he doesn't just heal the body, he heals the soul. You might look at us and say, well, because we are sinners, we sin, and because we sin, we get old, and because we get old, we die. And every sinner dies. Every sinner dies. You say, well, but if God is going to save us, he has to not only save our body, but he has to save our soul and our spirit. And the reason why this man would go and make an offering is because as he's making the offering, he's making this connection. He would be then saying, wait a second. This Jesus not only has the power to heal my body, but this is something that is done to make me acceptable again to God. What Jesus wants is the gospel message, that gospel truth, the gospel of the kingdom. He spoke with authority. And the people thought that he spoke with authority. They liked the idea that he spoke with authority, but they preferred the miracles. Heal my body. Let me live. I've got leprosy. Can you heal me? I'm sick. Can you make the sickness go? There's a demon possessed. Can you deliver the demon? They wanted all of that. But they were not making the connection. If you have all of that, the one doing that is God. He is the Messiah. He's the one who has come to save us and to establish his kingdom forever. And I think the reason Jesus tells this man to go and offer the sacrifice is because he's interested in the totality of healing this man. But like many others, we may meet him in heaven. I don't know what's going to happen with this man in heaven. We may meet him in heaven. I hope so. But what I am telling you is his heart needed to be healed. His inside needed to be healed by the God who heals the totality of us. He not only takes away our diseases and the consequences of sin in our bodies, but he heals our souls. He heals the spiritual part of us. And he wanted the man to go offer an offering to God. And the man is offering. If he would have gone, he would have been making this offering to God and realizing that this Jesus is what brings him into fellowship with God again, right relationship with God. He might have been more interested in hearing the preaching and the teaching of Jesus Christ. Because the people loved the miracle worker. They just didn't love the teacher teaching the word, guiding them to the totality of the salvation that they needed. So Jesus, and you might say, well, Jesus was just concerned because of this and the miracles taking place. He could no longer go into the cities. He had to stay in deserted places because the people were crowding upon him. So that's the reason why he told him to not say anything. Jesus was always concerned that he be the one presenting himself as the Messiah. He didn't really need any help from the demons. He didn't need any help from the lepers that were healed. He didn't need any help. But his concern was that people would just see him as this miracle worker, which they did, and miss the kingdom message, the good news of the kingdom of God, the good news of salvation, which they missed. So he tells this man, go to the priest and be cleansed by him. So you look at this and you see the enormity of what is taking place here. But I say to you, pick up that cup again and look in it. Do you see the compassion of Christ for you? You should. And when you look in the cup and you see that God is a God of compassion to you, and God is a God of love to you, that's when you look up from that cup and see the enormity of the ocean and the enormity of this eternity and the enormity of the greatness of God. And we're going to be studying the compassion of God throughout all eternity to get the height and the depth and the length and the width, to get the whole measure of all that God is. Wonderful thing, we can look in this cup and we can look at Jesus Christ, because the one who reveals to us God is Jesus Christ, and then the Bible that God has given to us, and then the Holy Spirit who is our teacher. But I guarantee you, if you look in that cup, because you're looking at Jesus Christ and because you're looking at the Bible, you see the compassion that God has for the totality of our being. And in our case, he's going to heal our hearts first, and then he's going to resurrect and glorify our bodies. That's coming. It's the second part. I hope this man eventually got to Jerusalem after running around and telling everyone that he could find that he was clean. And it does say this man was teaching the word, the Logos, presenting the Logos, the very truth of God. But at the same time, he needed to recognize that his body was healed and his soul needed to be embraced by this compassion of God. There's a lot of people running around today, and in the name of Jesus Christ, they're dealing with injustice, and they're dealing with solving man's problems. And they need to always remember what Jesus was doing here, and that is the totality of the person. If you just help people in this life and they die and go to hell, you have not helped them. You've helped them temporarily. I say, good for you. But we're here to help people in a forever way. If this man was just healed of his leprosy and he lived to be wonderful years and then died and goes to hell, has Jesus really healed him? Has Jesus really helped him? Well, the leper would probably say, yeah, that was wonderful. I was able to hear. But the healing that God does is the healing that is forever, this infinite God. And what a wonderful thing it is to be healed by him spiritually. That's why he says, come to me. And we come to him as sinners, he reaches out and touches us at the cross. And he heals us. And then he's going to heal the whole of our being. God is always concerned with our hearts, the inside and the outside. But he's concerned with our outside too. But it's the inside to the outside. So when you look in your cup, make sure you see the compassion of God for you and the love of God for you. And always remember that what you have in this cup, though it is a small little cup and you're holding it in your hand, maybe the theologians have buckets, I don't know, but mine's a little cup. I'm just telling you, this little cup, and you look in there, you see all the wonderful truths of God revealed to us by Jesus Christ, revealed to us in the Word of God, and taught to our hearts by the Spirit of God. But get the totality of God, the God who heals your body, the God who heals your soul and your spirit, and the God that makes you acceptable to God's presence. We have a great God, a compassionate God, a God who really cares, not just a force that just heals. He's a God who cares, a God who loves. And when you look at that cup, you see that great truth. We'll go partake of the Lord's Supper, where we're again testifying, this is the God who saves us. This is the God who touched us in the face of our leprosy. And he healed us inside and out. Glory be to God for all that he accomplishes for us. And may we see the enormity of this incomprehensible God who reveals himself to us. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that he revealed you so clearly. We recognize that your being is infinite. It is eternal. And for us to say that we can fit this infinite and eternal God into our minds, perhaps, Father, when we are glorified, maybe we'll have greater capacity to understand the fullness of all that you are. But still, we're always the creature. You are the infinite God. But help us to realize that we know you. And we understand that you are the compassionate God, compassionate to touch us in our sinfulness and save us. Thank you for the salvation we have in Jesus Christ alone. Body, soul, and spirit, salvation, the whole of our being. That's the kingdom of God. That's the wonderful kingdom of God. The totality of all that you're accomplishing for us, transforming us to be like Christ. Amazing. Why? Because of your love for us. Infinite, eternal love for us. We thank you for the blessings you give. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we pray that you will bless the bread that is broken and represents his body, and the cup that represents this new covenant, all the blessings you give to the totality of our healing. Pray that you will bless our partaking and showing our faith and trust in Christ alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.